and welcome to the Spirit Guiders. Jane Lightfoot and myself, Emily Baker, will take you through our understanding of not just all things mediumistic and psychic, but of the holistic and well-being lifestyle. During the series, we will be inviting guests along to guide us through what they offer, giving not only their experiences, but how they may be able to help gain well-being in life. Why not join us as we talk about things from aromatherapy, crystal healing, psychics, Reiki healing, and so much more. Let's dive right in. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spirit Guiders. I'm Emily.
I'm Jay.
Hello.
And welcome.
And welcome. So I just wanted to do a bit of a catch up. I met with Tony, you know, in the last episode we were talking to Tony.
Yes.
So we had our holistic fair. Well, you had the Mystique's holistic fair on Saturday. And we had loads of new people come. So thank you if you did come along. So
yes, we do appreciate all the support you give us at Mystique in the shop area, with our therapists, with our readers. You know, we had people from all over the country come, you know, as far as Lincolnshire.
Gosh, that's excellent. Yes. That's fabulous.
That was really good. And most people stayed all day. Did you notice they were here all day?
Yeah, and we couldn't get rid of them. No, we're closing up now. Look, we're packing up. Oh, no, we want to stay. We just want to stay. So, yeah, no, it's lovely.
Yeah, so we have booked another one. So those of you that are further afield that would perhaps like to come and meet myself and Emily, it's the 19th of November. There's plenty of hotels in the area.
There are.
If you would like to come over,
yeah,
give us a shout.
Yeah.
We'll arrange to say hello to you.
Absolutely. And or drop us a line saying that, you know, what we've got going on and stuff like that. We're more than happy to answer as well. So, yeah.
So today's episode is I've decided that I'm going to interview Emily. She doesn't know what I'm going to ask her. But people ask me questions all the time. Why do I do what I do? How did you get into it? So I thought it'd be nice on this episode for you to meet Emily.
Oh,
if that's okay, Emily.
That's fine. I have no idea what the questions are.
Yeah, I haven't showed her the questions. It is very warm, isn't it?
It's very warm,
it's
but
humid.
It's humid. And not only that, I'm kind of thinking it feels as though I'm sitting in the big black mastermind seats.
There is one behind you if you want to sit in that one.
No, it's all right. It's okay. I'll go with this.
So I'm going to ask her a few questions, a little bit personal, I suppose, not too personal, and then talk about what she does. So my first question is, when you actually left school, what did you intend to do? Well, you know, what was your job, your vocation? You know, where did you see yourself going?
Working in theatre.
Right.
And in fact, I was already working in theatre before I left school.
So when you're talking about working in theatre, what, as an actress or behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes. No.
She's shaking her head terribly there.
No, it's kind of like I was more like a rabbit in headlights.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like you could just see the fear on my face. I did have a lead role in a play, youth theatre play.
Yes.
And I had to be on stage for throughout the whole thing, and I decided at that point never an actress should I be. So it's kind of quite bizarre that I do lots of presentation work in front of people.
That's what I was going to say, because you felt like a rabbit in headlights on the stage. But you do platform work, which is in front of three people, or it can be in front of hundreds of people or thousands.
Yeah,
so it's still exactly the same.
But it's not. I'm not good at learning lines.
No.
So I'd change some of the lines throughout the evening, and the other actors would look at me like, no, I don't know where you are now. Oh, we'll just recap on that one, shall we? Recap. So, yes, I wasn't consistent enough to do that. And, in fact, I did theatre studies. But I was much more doing at the local theatre, which was the Watermill Theatre in Berkshire. I was front of house manager. I was an usherette.
I see you with the ice creams.
Oh, yeah, no, we did that. I ran a little shop there, which I loved doing. I did stage management and went into being stage. That's what I really loved doing.
Yes.
And when I left school, that's what I did, theatre studies. Went off to America to be an au pair. Came back and I was an assistant stage manager on a tour.
for the next 12 weeks odd.
So why the au pair bit? Where did that fit in?
Because I wanted to live and work in America. Right. And that was a quick, easy way to do it because you could get a visa. And also they paid you $100 a week.
Oh.
Yes, to look after children. I say that hesitantly because I won't mention any names, but some of the au pairs, other au pairs, went and said to me, where is his 666 on his neck? Right. And I went, well, we won't mention that one. Let's move on. so it was a very different experience. And I thought, yes, let's just do something completely different and see if I really want to live in America.
So when did you actually know that you could connect to spirit? Was it just like a sudden thing or was it over time?
It was, bless my father. I would tell him all my weird and wonderful dreams.
Right.
And one which still sticks to this day is about the Cod Wars. And I call it the Cod Wars because literally I was there and I could see this giant white cod, and it was the last female cod, and she was in this grey tank, and around her was all this white stuff, which was the male sperm, obviously, for the eggs. And I said, oh, that's a bit weird. No, she's the last female cod. And then the dream then went on to all of the eggs and being shoved out into the sea, and then Neptune and all the other fishes, as in bobbing along underneath the beautiful briny sea.
Yes.
Got out their tridents.
Start singing now.
I know. Got out the tridents and they started to walk on their fins and kind of, no, we're going to rebel. We're going to come back. Now is the time for the war. And we fish are going to fight back. And literally they came out of the sea saying, no, we're going to kill you humans. And I went, oh. So I woke up, told my dad, and he said, very interesting. 2 days later in the news, there was the whole thing about the cod wars with Spain.
Right.
Because we basically fished out all of the cod.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And how old were you then?
I must have been about 12, 13.
Yes, yeah, so it's not quite something that you would have been aware of then. You weren't like an adult, you were still
still quite young. And my mum used to call me Mrs. Chatterbox.
I can understand that, by the way. Everyone and anyone that's met Emily in a lovely way.
I can talk for England. So she just said, you never stop talking, and I would always be talking to somebody or something as well. And but yeah, over the years my dreams just became much more fluid and they became much more real. But it was mostly, and even my cousins and my dad would say, oh yes, you're psychic. And I said, yes, but what does that mean? What do I do? And I don't know. And I went, okay, thanks. When my dad died, when I was in my 20s, then it all really kicked off.
Right. Going back to the Cod Wars thing, that was more of a premonition then, would you have said?
So yeah.
Do you get premonitions or is it just very random if you do?
It's still random.
Yes.
I knew that my friend wanted to go to recapture a honeymoon to the Maldives. And we were in Pizza Hut, of all places, because it's as much as you can eat.
Yes.
We were doing that. See how many pizzas we can stuff in our face. And I said, no, you have to cancel your holiday. No, don't go. And she said, all I know is that there's going to be a big explosion and no planes around the world are going to fly. And she said, no, it'd be fine. I said, no, just don't fly. And by this point, I'd already told her that her daughter was going to get pregnant and blah, blah, blah. And she turned around and she said to the waiter, are you going on holiday? He said, oh, yes, I'm going to go backpacking. He said, well, just account for you being stuck in an airport for a few weeks, whatever, because no planes are going to fly. I went, oh, okay, that's a bit weird. All right, fine, fair enough. And then it was the Iceland
a volcano
going off and no planes flew for a while. So, yeah, so that happened. They're kind of quite random. And sometimes I don't even know I'm giving a prediction because I'm just chatting to somebody and I kind of go, oh, I feel that, I feel this. So, yeah.
How did you move from working in the theatre to becoming... There's so many questions. I'm trying to do it in order, but because I don't know Emily's history, I might
backtrack
a little bit.
Okay.
Because not only are you a psychic medium, a psychic artist, but you're also a reflexologist. So which of those two came first?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes.
Right, so I while I was working in theatre, I knew working in theatre, you're only employed for, 10% of the time?
Yes.
And so therefore, I needed a backup plan. And I was useless at office studies because I got kicked off of the work experience because I just created more mess. And then I thought, oh, I'll do aromatherapy. And so I did a course in aromatherapy while I was still working in theatre.
But if you explain what aromatherapy is.
Yeah. So aromatherapy is the use of essential oils in the form of doing a massage, but you can also use patisseries, you can use it in inhalers and using, I don't know, burners, all sorts of stuff.
So it's a natural, oil.
Yes, natural forms of oils being blended together.
Which you can use, like you say, for massage, reflexology. You can put on, like you say, the nasal sprays that you do.
Yeah,
and you can actually place it on things like your pillows if you're not sleeping.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. So okay.
That's aromatherapy then.
That's aromatherapy. So I did that. That was back in 96. I was doing that. And I loved it. Then I'm going to answer some of your questions of like, how did I get to where I am now?
Yes.
So then after... still working in theatre, my dad passed away, and I made a promise to my dad that I'd give up theatre to look after my mum, which I did, and I ended up working in a bank.
Nice.
Drove all of them completely potty, because if you know me, I'm not a banky person, but that was also on my to-do list of things to places I wanted to work, so that I could tick that off my bucket list. Yeah. And then from there, I thought, oh, okay, I want to be self-employed. And I couldn't think of a business. A friend of mine said, apply for this job, which was working for the DWP. I half-heartedly applied and they employed me.
Right.
Yes. So going from a very informal bank atmosphere, because it was online, it no longer exists, I hasten to add, to then working in a very formal place. You can see that I lasted there for a good five years.
That's very different to setting up your own business, wasn't it?
Very different. And I still drove them potty because I'd sing a song like Manam Manam.
Yes.
And the whole floor would be singing within half an hour. And yes, they would go, we have to kill you now, Emily. You know, that sort of thing.
One of these irritating.
But by that time, while I was working at the DWP, I was already experiencing, I could see auras around people and I could see people following people who weren't really there. Yes. And I knew that they weren't there. And I knew trees were talking to me and I knew stuff and I couldn't understand. Why would I know what the customer was already going to tell me before I'd even picked up the phone? That kind of a weird situation. And eventually I went up to a friend who we trained together and I said, I think it's time for the white coats. I'm quite happy for you to send me off in the white coat. She said, no, I've got a better place. And she took me off to a spiritualist church, and then that was it, really. And it was just kind of opened up, and that's when I started learning and going to development classes and going to open circles and learning and watching and kind of going, I'm not totally doolally.
So you did the aromatherapy, so did you do the reflexology at the same time, or is that something you added on?
It's something else that I added on. So while I was at the DWP, towards the end, I was getting a little bit stir-crazy, funnily enough, and I was driving everybody else doolally, because I knew working in an office, it was just... I found it very constraining and very constrictive. I went off to, I saw an article in the newspaper about having, if you're wanting a change of career over the age of 20, then you could have a test done to see what you would suit. Did that, and it came up as aromatherapy reflexology, and I went, fine, lovely, I'll do a course in that, another one. And I said, well, where can I find a course? And they said, well, Derby University, because I was living in Derby. And I looked and I went, okay, I'll go and do that. Spoke to my line manager, said, I'm going to do a university course. Great, okay. So I applied. They allowed me into the university course.
Yeah.
And I told my line manager, I ended up working one day a week at the DWP.
Right.
But I also knew that once I'd done my course, I wouldn't be working there anymore, because it was just all going a bit wrong. My mum then got seriously ill. She got cancer and she only had 6 months. So then I knew when she passed away, I definitely wouldn't be working at the DWP. Yes. I was only working there to, because it was her face, you know, it's yes. like, I've got a civil servant as a daughter. Yes. Oh, grandeur. And I said, yes, but you don't know how much I'm earning. Yes. And then she laughed and she had hysterics. And because it was just above the minimum wage, I hasten to add. And so then from there, I just kind of, I did the course, which was complementary therapies. So yeah. I did a degree in that. That was aromatherapy and reflexology. So that's, and still doing the mediumship. Yes. And still doing, so throughout those years at university, I was doing, looking after my mum, the degree course, working at the DWP and doing mediumship on platforms so, and working around the place.
So you had never really, you were always on the go.
Always on the go.
You know, and just briefly, just going off tangent a little bit there, is Emily talked about, you know, she managed to reduce her hours at the at her work to one day to enable her to go to college and train. I've had quite a few people in the last few weeks that I've seen wanting to train in something, but this fear of letting go of security, as they call it, for a job. And I've been saying, could you go down to 2 days a week or 3 days a week? And people don't think about that. They either think they can work or study.
Absolutely.
They don't realise you can actually mix the two.
Yeah.
So any of you out there that are looking for a change, looking to train in something, you know, talk to your employers. You know, look at your money situation.
Absolutely. And also, don't forget, if you're going to do a degree course, you can get a student loan. If yes. you've not had one before, you can get one. And do look at the terms and conditions, because they've changed now. So I have to be earning a certain amount yes. before they start asking the money back.
Exactly. So, yeah, so, you know, we can all be on this straight road and really don't want to be on in it anymore.
No.
So Emily's proof that, you know, you can go to, well, Emily could go to 1 day a week, but also study.
Yeah.
And then that changed your life forever, really, in effect, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, fabulous. It's taking that leap. And because everything fell into place, I knew it was the right thing to do as well. There wasn't any hesitation. It was kind of like I got onto the degree course, and then the next thing I knew was that I got the student loan. And my mum said, well, how can I help you? And I said, if you help me, I can't get the student loan. So you can't do. And because I'm also dyslexic, the university has a policy there. If you tell them straight away, they will assess you if you haven't been assessed and got the certificate. And then you can get help with your notes, with computers, with printers, with dictaphones, and all of that is given to you. You don't have to pay for it. And they give you programs to help you work through it. And I had a tutor who would help me with my essays and all the rest of it. So, you know, it's not, and in fact, universities love older students because you are there for the right reasons, not because you're 16 and 17 or 18 and that's what you have to do.
And you're going for the partying.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Partying. So like, you know, Emily's coming across, she's very multi-talented, I can assure you. I think she is anyway.
Yes, thank you.
And then we get into the psychic art side of things. So what drew you into that? Was there something... Because, you know, you've told me before, you know, you're not an artist as such, never had formal training. So where, you know, was it during a reading you felt that, or were you meditating? What made you start putting, you know, pencil to paper to draw?
Okay. Good question. I was actually at Stansted.
Yes.
Arthur Finley College, which was Arthur Conan's home, actually, for a while. And there I saw a gentleman called Alan, I want to say Alan Davis, but it's not. It's another Alan. Anyway, he is a trained artist, but he's also a psychic artist. And I saw him giving a demonstration along with a student of his. And I kind of went, that's good, because I not only can give a message, but I can give them something tangible to take away with them from that message. And that's what really drew me. And the lady who was also with Alan was a lady called Jan, and she ran a workshop only a few months later. And I went, I'm doing it. I know I might have to drive 3.5 hours to get to the workshop, but I'm doing it. And that's what I did too. And then from there on in, she just said, just practice. Just, you know, if you're sitting in an open circle, just sit there and draw. Don't worry about what's in your head. Just draw. And if stuff comes into your head, write it down or make notes that you know will make sense. Because she used to do squiggles that look like pie or whatever.
Yes.
But that for her would be perhaps a mathematician or somebody who liked cooking. Or, you know, it would be some information for her to link back into that message again.
So how does that differ? Because so that you use like a charcoal, you use...
I use charcoal.
Charcoal.
Yeah, and pastels.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you also do oils, don't you? Paintings, which are slightly different. So would you call that more spiritual art rather than psychic art?
Yes, I suppose so. And yes, it's encaustic wax, actually.
Yes.
And that was one of the tools that we used as to do a reading with. So it was when I was actually learning in the development class that you get the waxes out and you'd have the iron and the paper and you just, and then you would read from that. And I thought, right, okay, I've done a set of cards called perceptionary cards on that.
That was my next question.
Okay. Jump ahead. Yeah. Might be because I'm psychic. But yes, anyway, so yeah, I created this set of cards that I thought, well, you know, it's easy to transport. Anybody can use them, etc. And from there, I thought, oh, why don't I just do a set of series of pictures that people can have originals and they're not printed, but actual original encaustic wax. And people get to see so many different bits and pieces in the artwork.
Yeah, if we, I don't know if Emily can put a picture of one on.
I'm not sure
how that works. Yeah. But it's not like a drawing of a tree or a house or a landscape. It's colours, isn't it?
It's very abstract.
Yes, that's the word.
Yeah.
And some of the colours are very deep, some are like pastel.
Yeah.
But, and that's what Emily has incorporated in the set of cards that she's done, which is very different to a lot of cards that are out there. You know, you've got your oracle cards, your tarot cards, but because it's not like a set face or a set figure.
No. And also you can have them any which way around. You can have them four ways round.
Yeah.
So instead of kind of, there's only 49 in the pack, and you go, oh, there's only 49. Times that by four, because each way round gives you a different picture.
Yes.
That's 192 cards.
And am I right in thinking when people have a reading with you, it's what they see in the picture rather than what you see for them?
It's a bit of both. So I will kind of show them what I'm getting, and I will talk about the colours and say, this is what I see from this colour, and now I'm going to talk about where I see you in the card and what I'm seeing around the card. And I will say to them also, do you see anything? A lot of people will say no, but some will say, oh yes, I'm getting to see this, and I can see what you're pointing out. So yeah, and some people don't kind of look at them and go, oh my god, I can see so much, whereas other people who would say you need a little bit of imagination.
Yeah, some people can look at them quite blank, can't they?
Yeah,
what are these?
Yes. Yeah. And need kind of, can't you just write me a book to tell me? And I said, you know, those old-fashioned yellow telephone books, I'd need six of those, you know. So I said, no, I can't do that.
So when people come for a one-to-one reading with you, They have the option, don't they, of the perceptionary cards?
Yeah.
The psychic art, where you draw who you feel is in spirit.
Yes.
Because it's not always the spirit you're talking to, is it?
Yeah, so it works in quite a weird way at the moment. So, and it keeps on fluctuating. So at the moment, I don't get, with mediumship, they show me themselves.
Yes.
So I can describe them. With the psychic art, I don't get to see the person who I'm drawing, nor do I get to see the person who's communicating. So if it's if I'm drawing a male and I'm talking to a male, I'm thinking I'm drawing the person who I'm talking to.
Yes.
But that's not often the case.
No.
It's somebody completely different that's connected to the person who I'm giving the reading to. And so, yes, but I will get told if something's wrong or if something's right by the communicator.
And then you often will put dates and names, won't you? I've seen you do that as well.
Yes. If it, at, towards the end, while I'm trying to write the day's date, yes. they'll kind of go, oh, it's the 15th. No, 16th. Okay, it's the 5th. I need to give you those. And they'll normally be linked with a date that's like an anniversary, a birthday, christening, or along those yes. lines. And then same with months, sometimes years. Sometimes I get rank numbers.
Right, yes.
If they're with the police force yes. or with the army or something. Forces. Yes. So they sometimes give me things like that as well.
And have you, I know you've worked abroad with regard to being an au pair, if that's the right word you mm-hmm. used before, a nanny.
Yeah.
I just said escort in my head. I was going to definitely wasn't one of those. Sorry.
I wasn't one of, no, I wasn't one of those.
So have you worked abroad, and I mean physically abroad, because most of us, do international reads over Zoom or phone or over the internet, but if you physically, you know, not like I've gone to Spain and people go, God, you know, do a reading for me. I don't call that international.
Yeah.
I mean, have you physically gone to another country with the whole intention of being there as a reader, as a medium? Have you ever done that?
No, and I'd like to.
I was going
to
say,
I would love to do that. And it's only when I found a friend of mine over in India, she said, oh my God, you do readings and stuff. Then she went and said, so, you know, have a word with my sister, and she yes. wants a face-to-face reading. Prague as well. Yes. I was there on a seminar for something completely different, and suddenly I was giving everybody readings. And yes. it's like, I'm not here for that, but okay, all right, we'll do this for the evening. So yeah, it kind of happens haphazardly. And I think until you have set up a network in a different country,
yes,
that doesn't happen. That, you know, the haphazard yes. happens, doesn't it? Until you've set up that.
Yes, so I'm just very warm at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, so lovely. If you had a choice of, say, three countries that you would like to go and work in, not working permanently, but to go and say, right, I'm here for a month, where would those, you know, and if you say somewhere like America, be a little bit perhaps more specific, because America's
it's
massive.
Huge. It's huge. Yes. Yes, America is one of them. And I didn't think I wanted to go over to California. I might do, because it's much more spiritual over that
yes,
kind of San Francisco, California area.
A little bit weird at times, I have to say.
I don't actually kind of like that neck of the woods. Yeah. I like New England.
Right.
Which is much more conservative, shall we say.
Yes.
It's very much more conservative. But it depends on their rules and regulations, because in some states, what we do here is illegal. It's seen as witchcraft, and yes. you can't do it. So
it's like religion, isn't it? Certain yeah. religions wouldn't.
It's not acceptable. Yes. And also in Finland, weirdly enough, when I was at Arthur Finland, they went and said, no, there's nothing like that, because we don't practice it in Finland. And I went,
no.
What do you mean? And we were all kind of sitting here astounded, you know, all of us Brits, and we're going, oh, no, it's commonplace. Oh, no, you know, we just don't talk about it. So for me, it would be the psychic art in America, because I don't really get to see anybody really doing that in America. So I'd like to take that over. I would like to go to India.
Yes.
I'd love to do more in India. And in fact, I did start scouting around for venues of wow. going, oh, yes. yes, we could do it here, and we could do it. It's a language issue, but
yes.
India, actually, they speak a lot of English
they
there,
do.
Actually, so it's not that
And again, India is a large country,
it's
isn't it?
Huge. It would be Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh,
yes.
North India, and maybe some other areas as well. So absolutely. And please note, these are all warm countries.
See, I'd be going to the cold ones. Can I just say this? It'd be Christmas, the winter, wherever I went.
And I suppose another dream place would be New Zealand.
Yes, yeah. Beautiful, isn't it?
I'd love to go to New
Zealand.
You've
got your North and South Island, and they're very different.
Yeah, so those are, I suppose, are my top three.
Well, that's something to, I suppose,
aim for. Absolutely. And I have been working towards that as well,
because it is getting a contact there,
yes,
and one that you can trust. And this is the thing, it is about trust, a lot of what you do when you do abroad. Money
yes
to be able to go and actually survive over there for a set amount of time. Yeah. Any visas that you need.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the insurance side of things.
It is. It's all of that. And I know that a friend of mine, they went over to America to work. And actually they got, and I said, well, I've been doing it for a while. I went, oh, okay. I just go on a normal tourist visa. And I said, yes, but you're working.
Yes.
And they said, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And then they got stopped. And then they went and said, yeah, I did get stopped. And it was just like, luckily, we had sorted out the visa that time around. And I went, whew. But yes, but it's not so much of a headache at our end. It's the person employing us to come over. That's where the headache is. So it's very much like that. So I have thought of maybe a cruise ship, apart from I get terribly seasick.
Yes, I've looked at that because you get the likes of, I think, Gordon Smith, the medium from Scotland. He does these cruises.
Yeah.
With other mediums, don't they? They do different workshops there.
Yes. So I've looked at that. And the other thing is it's having a big enough following as well, and people who want to know you or who know you, so that it's worthwhile them employing me to kind of go overseas and stuff. So I have also looked at getting an agent as well to kind of help promote. But the agent went and said, well, how do you promote? And I'm going, you're just going to nick all my ideas.
Yes.
But they also gone and said, well, what's your end game? Are you wanting to write a book or are you wanting to be on TV? That sort of a thing. TV, it's very much, you have to remember TV is edited.
It is totally
edited,
and they do they like to pick the most
exciting, dramatic,
bizarre,
moments, and not necessarily the boring bits of where people do go and say no, or like, oh, I'm not sure, and they're sitting there for 5 minutes while they're sifting through, like we all do, that whole waff of information I've given them. That's a good word, waft.
It is waft.
Yeah. Yes.
And don't you think, though, once you become, I suppose, a celebrity in that manner, then that opens it up for others to knock you back down?
Absolutely.
You know, I see that a lot with celebrities in all formats, not just mediumship, but in all walks of life.
Absolutely. And that was one of my concerns, actually, when I was starting to become busy and becoming known, is like the pressure of, and I hate this word, I really hate it, so I'm going to say it in italics, performing.
Yes.
Because it is almost sometimes you do feel like, oh gosh, okay, out I go again. Yes. But once you get going, it's spirit doing the work. But you do feel that pressure of, oh my God, I've got to get everything right because that's what they're expecting. They're expecting this, this and this. So there is a huge amount of pressure on the people like Gordon Smith and like Sally Morgan and the other mediums who you kind of get to see on the bigger arenas. Mark Brandis is another one and stuff like that. So that just feel for them for a moment or two before going, when they come out, because they can feel that pressure from you of, oh my gosh, we want you to bring through our loved ones, so they can feel that. And if you've got an arena of 300 people, that's 300 hopes and wishes coming through to being bombarded at us energetically. And then it's that, well, you're going to have to get it right, aren't you? And I'm not accepting it until you get the hair right, the clothes right, the shoe size right, and the name.
And the name, and the date of birth. And their address.
Absolutely. All of that, you've got to get all, and how they died, and how they lived. And if you get one of those wrong, we're not going to say yes. And it's like, give us a break.
Yes.
You know, it is that, that's a huge amount to be asking us, but we don't know your loved ones.
No.
We can give you what they give us.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's, if it was that easy, and I'm going to use that word easy, we would know everything. We'd know what's happening in all parts of the world. We'd know the lottery numbers.
Yeah.
We would know who hurt who killed who. You know, we'd know all that. And we don't, because we actually have to live on this earth plane.
Yeah.
And if spirit interfere too much, it would affect each of our life journeys.
Absolutely.
And we have to learn.
Yeah. And that's why I don't like giving the future. And I personally don't like being told the future, because I know then I'm going to just go out of my way to change it.
Yes.
And for that not to happen and make it make my life more difficult. Whereas if I didn't know, I would be there.
Yes.
Instead, I kind of go around the mountain, through the mountain and up the mountain. Whereas yes. instead, I've kind of just used the escalator.
Exactly. It's like to make life difficult for yeah. yourself.
Yeah.
And really, my final question for Emily today is, and I don't talk about future very much. You know, if you come for a reading with myself, I talk about the next few months and possibilities. But I say to each of you, you know, don't look years ahead, because none of us know realistically what's going to happen, because there's too much going on in the world as a whole.
Mm.
And it's dependent on third parties, not just ourselves. Mm. But saying that, Emily, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, my God.
Where would you like to be in 5 years? You know, location. We already talked about location earlier before we came on.
Yeah.
But, you know, what would be, not your dream, but, you know, where would you like to be in that 5 years?
I would like to be living near water, yes. nearer to water than what I am. Even one of those homes that are a floating home, not a boat. I'd like yes. to point this out. A boat is too small. A floating home.
Like a big fat yacht.
No. Paddle steamer, maybe.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to give me a boat. But I mean, kind of like literally, it's a house that's on pontoons.
Oh, right.
So it floats.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. So if you watch Sleepless in Seattle.
I think so, yes.
Yes. And where he moves from to go and live in Seattle.
I don't have a good memory of things okay. like that.
Well, that's literally a floating home.
Right.
Because they're all on literally pontoons. So when, right. when it floods, it goes up.
Oh, right.
And when it dries out, it sinks. So it's, I think, yeah.
Yes.
But then again, so near to water, whether it be the sea, or...
Probably if you put it into little columns. So work-wise, where would you like to be in 5 years?
To be honest, I don't really know.
Right.
All I can tell all of you, which I have been saying now for the last few months, is I know that something's big coming.
Yes.
And I have no idea what it is.
But I'm sitting
here in anticipation.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to think of that, because I think if I kind of go, oh, I'd love to be famous and I'd love to be, you know,
not necessarily that is what I suppose I'm trying to get across is. Perhaps my question was a bit too big. Do you still see yourself working with spirit?
Oh,
in
gosh,
five
yeah.
years?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yes.
And where I am, yes. I have no idea. I honestly don't, because I do look at houses around the country and in other countries. But I can't see myself moving there yet.
No.
And that impetus to kind of go, oh, that's my, you know.
It's about the right time, isn't it?
It is. It's that perfect storm. And
yes.
that I know something's coming. So all I can say is watch out, guys, because I don't know what it is.
She might be living around the corner from you.
Yes. And then you can hear me chattering yes. at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Round with a little sugar bowl.
I know, and talking in my sleep and all the rest of it.
So psychically, work-wise, that's where you'd like to continue. And of course, you know, as mediums, as psychics, you never stop learning, do you?
No.
And it's just the progression of that.
Absolutely.
Which is, and then from that, you know, you can look at books, you could look at your meditations, doing more art, teaching, that can all be part of that.
Absolutely. And can I talk about the course we're going on?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, we're going on a workshop.
We are.
And which is very exciting, which is about being a psychic detective.
Yes.
And that's also something that has drawn my attention for a number of years. So
yes.
In the 5 years, I hope to be doing more of that, because those messages do come through for me,
yes.
where I get people who have passed away in circumstances not all that nice, and that's not resolved.
Yes.
And there's normally somebody who's, and I would say in the audience, but somebody who's watching me in a public demonstration, who is connected to the police and can pass that information
yes.
on. So they come at the right time. But yeah, I would like to do more of that kind of thing. So in my development, yes, that's what
that's
I'd
something.
Like to do. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it was just something that came along because we talked about it, and the next day the course appeared on my timeline on Facebook, and it's a medium I've never heard of, but she has worked with the police on several murders. And so, yeah, I said to Emily, should we go?
Yeah.
You know, I might do it and I might not enjoy it, but I might do it and love it. You just don't know. But it's just another thing in the tool bag, isn't it?
It is.
That's how I see things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I think also, if there's something there that ignites you and that you kind of suddenly get a passion for and you get excited about, because I also fear that I will get stale. And it's like, oh, I'm just doing this again. I want something to keep me active and keep me motivated and keep me enthusiastic about it all. You know, and I know some people love table tilting, which, you know, and all the rest of it. The physical phenomena, absolutely. I know I haven't got the patience yet to be able to sit for a few hours every day or however much it does, to be able to get the transfiguration and the ectoplasm to come through. And for those who of you who do have that patience, please, please do more public demonstrations of that. Please do, because I'm finding it incredibly hard. Anybody doing the physical, you know, the physicalities of transfiguration. Now, transfiguration, just to remind you, is where your face and your mannerisms and your body changes, because that person has literally come into your energy. Ectoplasm is, I suppose, the best way to describe it. It's often seen as cheesecloth or muslin coming out of ears, nose, mouth and other orifices, and it becomes a person.
Yes.
So that's the physicality of it, and it goes back into that medium as well. Helen Duncan was a very famous medium who did that as well.
Yes. No, that's, you see, that's something that doesn't interest me at all.
No, but it kind of, but I then you have overshadowing.
Yes.
So overshadowing is, well, when I'm giving a message, some people can see that person standing in front of me and I look like them. That happens quite, that happens quite a lot as well. So, and I'll take on some of the mannerisms.
Yes.
But I'm not in a trance-like state. And that's the difference between transfiguration and overshadowing.
Yes.
I'm not in a trance.
So in 5 years, you see yourself doing your spiritual work, and that's just going to advance more and more and more.
Absolutely.
And then what about more on location?
On location, work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like...
No, I mean, sorry, where do you think you'll be living? Where would you like to be? I know you've said by this, by the water. But, you know, come on. The world is massive.
It's absolutely massive. And
do you,
you
see
know,
yourself in like, the UK, or would you... See, you know, if somebody came into your life that picked you up off your feet and just fell in love with you and lived somewhere else, would you go?
It would be either here in the UK, perhaps further south. I am being drawn back down south. Or Ireland.
Yes. Southern or northern?
Southern Ireland.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I'd love to go to Southern. I'm going on holiday, but yes, Southern Ireland. I'm drawn to very much so. But yes, Southern England as well. Yes.
So it's all southern.
It's all the south. Yes, because it's warmer.
Oh.
I'm a bit nesh.
I'm not.
And for those of you who don't know what nesh means, it means that I feel the cold.
Yes.
That's what that one is. So yes, I like the warmth. Definitely.
So I've learned a lot about Emily. Because like I say, she does come to Mystique and offers readings here. And we do other things together. But you never get a chance to really have that talk.
No.
Because we're always so busy running around. So I just want to thank Emily. I'm sure she'll pick on me at some future date.
I will do.
Hope you've had a lovely bank holiday and enjoyed the warm weather.
Absolutely. And next time, you never know, perhaps I'll interview Jane and give her some surprise questions. And she's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. But Jane is very, very interesting with some of the work that she does. And I am looking at places as to kind of go to for doing, I suppose, paranormal evenings and stuff like that. So I am hunting around for doing stuff like that. And that's a whole different sphere that I haven't gone into really for me, work-wise. So yes, I'd be interested to do that. But you do that, don't you, Jane?
Yeah, and we can talk about that next time.
As well. So yes, we can do that and talk about, I suppose, the difference of the physical as well, you know, the physical phenomena, it's like table tilting and the trumpet and, you know, a ports. And that does, it's not to do with ships, by the way.
No, I was thinking maybe going with this one.
No, it's not the holes. No, it's not those. But yes, it's things that just land out of nowhere.
Yes.
As well. So, yeah, so all of that kind of, that. Love that. Photography. So we'll talk about that.
Yes.
But in the meantime, if you want to contact us, I will put up my our website addresses, definitely. And have a look in the full details of this series. Jane, you're here most of the time at Mystique, apart from on the days off.
Which was very rare, which is very today.
Very, very rare. So, well, yeah.
And because this is going out next week, I would just like to do a little advertisement, if that's okay. Is we have Lorna who offers Aura Photography.
Oh, fabulous.
And she's coming here on Sunday the 11th and Monday the 12th, I think that's the right way around, of September, and offering Aura Photography with a reading. And it's 30 minutes. So if you would like to come and have an appointment with her, contact us at Mystique or email myself and Emily and we'll arrange that for you.
And I think also, am I right in saying that you have got an event page set up on Facebook, haven't you? And
Yes, we have.
So if you're wanting to find out what Aura Photography is, don't worry, it's like just having your photograph taken.
Oh, totally.
You're not going to get hurt, I promise you. And then from that photograph, it's almost like a Polaroid, isn't it? And there's colours around you, that's what they're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, if we can arrange to interview Lorna while she's up, we will do that.
Absolutely.
Because she's from Somerset, so.
Oh, gosh. Yes, oh, no, so no, up. Definitely, yes. Definitely. Because there's very few people who do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
As well, so yeah, that'd be lovely if she can do that. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Don't forget, we've got Jane at Mystique. There's my website, emilyjbaker.co.uk.
Right.
Yes. So
thank you all for listening. Any questions, please do email us.
Absolutely. At spiritguiders@aol.com.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit Guiders podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with Jane or myself, then you can email us at thespiritguiders@aol.com. If you enjoyed the show, then please subscribe, follow, review, like, and most importantly, tell your friends about us. If you want to find out more about what Jane and I do and delve into the world of the Spirit Guiders, then check out our websites, emilyjbaker.co.uk or janelightfoot.co.uk. So until the next episode, let your health be your wealth.
This is a 1386 audio production.